Begin the current daf and start this Baba Kama daf nun tes. Begin 10 lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with a related discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had been discussing halacha that was mentioned in our Mishnah, that when an animal damages, let's say it eats something from another person's field, then we don't evaluate based on that produce itself how much the market value would be, which would be very expensive, a great loss for the mazik and a great deal for the nizik. Rather, as we explained, it's based on the proportion to bistei achar in regards to a beisa, which actually, as the Gemara explained, three different interpretations of that halacha, but it's actually based on not just of the row in contrast to a beisa, but that beisa in regards to 60 times that amount, which all opinions agreed that you evaluated based on shishim. Now, that there was an incident which regards that the question was brought up, is that same halacha that applies to niske memayne when one's ox, when one's animal damages, what's about niske gufa when someone does the damage himself? So the Resh Galusa said, you got to pay for what you damaged. Rav Nachman said, no, you do it based on shishim. So Rav had asked, wait a second, who said we say this leniency in regards to niske gufa when the person does it himself? Maybe it only applies to niske memayne. Which Abaye had responded, he says, wait a second, why are you thinking like that? Because there's a brisa that doesn't mention the concept of shishim. He brought him a brisa which also was talking about niske memayne, which we know the halacha applies with shishim, and it doesn't mention it, and therefore the omission is not a proof. So it was that brisa that in that context that Abaye had brought, one of the halachas mentioned that brisa was a machlikis Rabbi Yosef Glili and the Chacham. What's if an animal eats chaziz? Chaziz is a shachas, it's the sprouted grain when it just begins to sprout. So the Chacham said, you do it based on the evaluation of the land. How much was the land worth before, and how much is it worth after, which again, as we explained, based on Abaye, that's based on shishim. Now, but Rabbi Yosef Glili said it different. He said, nidin b'mishuyur shabay. You evaluate the shachas, the sprouted grain that was eaten, based on what was left over. What didn't the animal eat? Let's see what that's going to be worth when it's going to be cut. That is how much you have to pay for the sprouted ground. Even though it didn't grow to that point, what was eaten wasn't that, but it would have grown had the animal not eaten, and therefore you have to pay for that amount. So it's on that halacha that Om Abaye says, Rabbi Yosef Glili, this Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shmuel, Amr Dova Echer. They say the same halacha, which is, basically, is the halacha that we just quoted from the Brisa, which again Abaye was using for a different discussion, which is this concept that nidim b'mishurisha, but you look at its projected growth, and that's how much you actually have to end up paying. Rabbi Shmuel is also the same idea, the Tanakh in the Brisa. The Brisa says the Pasuk talks about when the payment for the mazik of Shein and Regal, the Pasuk concludes, Meitav Sedehu, Meitav Kam Yishalom. So he has to pay the best of his field and the best of his vineyards. What does that mean? Who is paying who's best? So it's a machlekes. First opinion, Meitav Sedeyu shall nizik, umeitav kamri shall nizik, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says the mazik has to pay for the best fields of the damaged party and his best vineyards. Kiva Imri says, no, loiba hakas, the pasuk is not coming to tell you what type of fields that you have to pay as if they were damaged. Ela ligvis l'nizakin, rather, it's for the collection for the victim, which is, best in the courts evaluated, how much was damaged? 100, 200, whatever the amount that was damaged. Now if, let's say, the mazik wants to pay up that amount that he owes the nizik, whether it's 100 or 200, that collection, if he wants to pay with land, has to be min ha'idis, from the best, the highest quality properties that the mazik has. So it's not about what for the content of what was damaged, that what type of fields you have to pay. No, you pay for whatever you damage. But now with the payment method, what are you paying with land? Then you got to give your best lands. And says Rabbi Kiva of Kavuchem al-Hekdesh, and for sure, in regards to halachas of Hekdesh, that's also going to be evaluated the person's best fields. So that's what Rabbi Kiva says. Now, says Abaya, v'loy teima. Don't say this that Rabbi Shmuel says, that it's the meitav shel nizik. You got to pay with the victim's best fields. Now, we had asked in the first parak, wait a second, achol k'chusha mashal mashmeina, what does that mean? If let's say the animal damaged, ate the produce of one of the inferior pieces of land. So Rabbi Shmuel is telling me, so he's got to pay as if he ate one of the best pieces of land? Why? Why would that be? Why would you pay for the most expensive land when that's not what was damaged? So we had answered there, k'rev'i debar oven. Like Rav Idbar Oven says Abaye, don't say that answer. Because the Amr Rav Idbar Oven, he had answered, you know how we understand Yerushim Al Salacha? He explained this follows. He says, Kagain Sha'achla Aruga Bein Harugas. The case that Yerushim Al is discussing is when the animal ate a row amongst other rows. Now, Velo Yedinon, we do not know. Ikhush Havi Yishmein Havi. Did it eat from the inferior piece of lands or did it eat from the more expensive piece of lands? the Omar, so that's what the Pasuk is coming to tell us, says Rav Ida bar Avin in the Halacha of Rabbi Shmuel, Kum Shalom Shemena, so go ahead and pay now for the best piece of lands. Which, what that means is, B'meitav de'ika hashta, which is the best lands that the Nizik has right now, as if that land was damaged, we don't know which row we ate from, you got to pay the most expensive one. That says Abaya, D'hochi l'amina, that we do not say. My time, what's the reason we don't say that? Because we know the halacha always is hamoytze mechaveru olav haraya. If someone wants to collect from his friend, it's incumbent upon him to prove, and therefore, until we know, the mazik only has to pay you, the nizik, you're the damaged party, you have to prove if you want to collect from him that it was from the most expensive. Until you can prove, he only has to pay for the most deficient piece of land. So Ella rather explains Abaya, it can't be like Rav Ada Ra'id Bar Avin had said that that would be the case of when you have to pay meitav shal nizik. Rather, what does Rabbi Shmuel mean when he says you pay with meitav the nizik? It's not talking about, like he said, a case of doubt. Rather, it's talking about where the row of produce that the animal ate, he has to pay how much it was fit to be b'meitav de lekamei. What was it going to improve to ultimately be like? Mind you, what is that? Kiheich the salik. However it would be have been worth when you would be taking it out at the time of reaping, that projected growth is the amount that the mazik has to pay for. That's what it means, meitav sedei shel nizik. It doesn't mean some other row they have to pay the best for. No, what he did damage, his animal damage, that meitav, what the best it would have been when you would be reaping, that is how much the mazik has to pay. And that's like Rabbi Yisrael Glili says, Abaya, Shmuel and Rabbi Glili are saying the same idea. You got to pay for the projected growth, what would have been, but then it was stunted and taken away because the animal ate it. That is, projected growth has to be paid for by the mazik. Now the Gemara goes back again to this brisa. Amamar, the master had said, quoting Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Eimim Shem Rabbi Shimon, he said, regarding to the halacha that was mentioned, it was a machlekes regarding achlas smadar. When the animal eats very small grapes right after that they started sprouting, Rabbi Shmuel said that you view them as if they are grapes ready to pick, the same idea when it was already its projected growth. Chacham is saying, no, you evaluate the land itself. How much was the land worth with the smadar on it? And how much was it worth without it? And that's how much you pay. And again, as we explained, that's based on Shishim. Now, then Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, he disagreed. And he said, when do we say this halacha concept of the Chacham, that we don't evaluate the fruit itself, the grapes that were eaten, rather just based on the land that's with it? That, he says, is sha'achla lulavi gefanim b'yichuri te'enim. That's if it eats it only when it's shoots, when it's in barely, when you see the cluster there when it's starting, but it didn't even sprout yet, that is where, okay, so it's not an independent feature, it's really still part of the land, and then you'll evaluate it based on the land. Now, the Gemara asks, the inference is, hasmadar, but if let's say the grapes were already in the state of smadar, which the grapes already started sprouting a little bit, because lulavin is before it even started sprouting, then it sounds like the Rabbi Shimon Yehuda would hold, then he would agree that then you wouldn't evaluate it based on the ground. Then you would see it as if there are grapes ready to be plucked, and you would evaluate it based on the grapes themselves. That asked the Gemara, Eima Seifa, look at the end of his sentence. He says, Achla pagamay baiser, but if the animal eats half-ripe grapes or half-ripe figs, so who derayin eisen kiilu anov ma'imad dislibatzer. So that's what he says. Then we're going to view them as if they're grapes ready to be plucked. But the inference is, hasmadar, but, and we're talking about so far three stages of grapes, which is when it's still in shoots, which didn't even come out yet, you see, but it didn't come out yet. Then there's smadar, which is middle type of stage, where it just started coming out. And then you have pagama baisa, which is half ripe, and then obviously when it becomes totally ripe. Now the inference of a statement is, if he's saying by half ripe, that's when you view them independently. The inference is hasmadar, but when they're still at a smaller stage, when they just started sprouting, that's then Rayanoisin Kamahi Yaf of Kamahisi Yaf, and then you would evaluate it based on the land. How much was it worth before and how much is it worth now? So how do we understand the conflicting inferences of his opinion regarding smadar? So Ravina says, Karach Vitani. You have to wrap it together and learn it. In other words, you should add on the case of smadar together with the seifa of his statement. And that is, he said that when did we say this halach of the Chacham that we base it based on the karka? That's bizman sha'achlu lulavi gefanim b'yichuri te'enim. That's when it didn't even start sprouting yet. You see the cluster, but it didn't even come out yet. It's eating the grape shoots or from the figs. That's when you base it on the land itself. How much is the value of the land worth less? Aval achla smada, you have to add on the word smada in the sefer. But if the animal ate it when it's already started budding, or paganai baisa, or for sure when it's at a state of ready half ripe, then roi nice and kilandov my mind is libasa, then we view it as if the grapes ready to be picked. And again, then you view it independently, not just which would be a leniency in regards to the land, but rather the more expensive version of the grapes themselves. Now the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the interpretation of his opinion, then Yerb Shimon ben Yehuda han Yerb Yeshua. Then his opinion, as we said, there were two opinions before Yerb Shimon ben Yehuda. You had Yerb Yeshua who says by smadar, that's ki'ilu hen anav mamandis libatzer, the way we just described Yerb Shimon ben Yehuda's opinion, he's basically saying the same thing. They're talking about smadar. Smadar is Yerb Yeshua says, that as if they're anav mamandis libatzer, which sounds like, but if they weren't smadar, everyone would agree it would be based on the karka. So that's exactly what Yerb Shimon ben Yehuda is coming to say, so what's he adding on more than Yerb Yeshua? So the Gemara says, Ike ben Nayu, the difference between them would be kash gufna. How much, if let's say one would has to pay a certain amount, but he says, wait a second, although I damage you, I'm saving you a certain amount of money. Why is the mazik saving you money? Because had the grapes remained on the grapevines until they were picked, then it would have diminished the stamina, the strength, and the vitality of the vines themselves, because the grapes can constantly take out nutrients from the vine. So regarding the diminishment of the vine, regarding that, okay, I'm saving you that amount, take that off the amount I have to pay you, that would be the difference between Yerb Shimon ben Yehuda and Yerb Yeshua. But says the Gemara v'lo misaymi, it's not clear who would hold what. You're right, it sounds like they're saying the same thing. When it reaches smadar, you got to pay as if it's grapes that were ready to be picked. And both of them agree to that. But the difference would be, do you have to pay for all that amount, or do you get somewhat of a rebate? Do you end up taking off some of that because saying, wait a second, I'm not going to pay for how much it was all the way there, because if it would have remained till the end, your vines would have gone down in value. I'm saving you that amount because it doesn't not remaining until it's going to be picked. Regarding that amount, that would be the difference between the two of them. Now, Abaye Omar, he says, Mesaimi u'mesaimi. It is definitive. Who is it that says which one of these two opinions? Because Mam Tana Dechayish Lekhash Gufna, who is it that's concerned for and reckons in the diminishment of the vine? In other words, how much is being saved by the grapes not being there, or whatever it is that would have happened anyway, but now that you're getting compensated, you're getting reimbursed for what was taken away from you, but you have to lose a little bit of what you would have had to have an expense, and now you don't have to. That's Reb Shimon ben Yehuda. As we find, he says this halacha in a different context. The Tanakh learned the Braisa. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, he says, Oynes, a man who raped a woman, Eina Mishalem Esatzar, he doesn't pay for the pain of that he forced upon this woman. Why? It says, because she would have been pained in this same act under her husband. So what we see from Shimon ben Yehuda's opinion is this concept that although he has to pay her for the einus, for the rape, but we take away part of that payment because she would have ended up having that diminishment at a future time period, and now she's not having it, so that expense is what's being taken away. Same concept where obviously he's the one to hold of Kash Gufna, that amount is taken off from the amount that the Mazik has to pay. Now, Amr Lai, but the Gemara quotes the end of the Braisa, the Chacham disagreed with Reb Shimon ben Yehuda in the name of Reb Shimon ben Manasseh because they said, "In a day, Nevelas Meratzah LeNevelas Ba'Inis." You can't compare a woman that has cohabitation willingly to a woman that's raped and that's having it forcibly. And therefore, you can't say that she would have had the tsar anyway with her husband. It would have been a much different experience than with this ma'anis, and therefore, he has to pay for that tsar. It's very different. But one thing we see again is that it's Reb Shimon ben Yehuda who says this concept, and therefore we know who is the one that says it with his machlekes that he has with Reb Yeshua. Now, moreover, Om Abaye says, Hani Tanoi, these Tanoim that Abaye is about to quote, and Reb Shimon ben Yehuda that we just quoted, Amr Dover Echad, they say the same concept. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Hadamar, like we just quoted just before, regarding what you would have had to have an expense, and I'm saving you. Yes, I got to pay you for the damage, but you got to take off from that amount. So he says this concept. And also, Hani Tanoim Mahi, so what are these Tanoim that I'm saying say the same idea? The Tanoim, like we learned in the Braisa, which this Braisa talks about the halacha concept of Dmei Vladis, which is if a woman was injured by a man who was fighting with this friend and ended up hurting this woman, and she was pregnant, and she miscarries because of that. So the halacha is that this man has to pay to the husband the value that was lost from these aborted fetuses. Now, the Braisa teaches, Rabbi Yisi, I mean, he says, but nachei chaya, that the the husband has to take off from the price value that this man has to pay for having injured and having the loss of the fetuses, how much the husband would have had to pay for the midwife, for the woman that would help with the birth. Now, as Rashi explains, the damage that was done to the woman in the injury and the pain that she has now more than would have been, let's say, with a midwife, of course this mazik has to pay to the woman that nezik and the tsar. Now, but one thing is, and what we're talking about is, regarding the value of the fetuses that the Torah tells you have to give to the husband, that amount of the fetuses, he takes off from that amount how much you would have had to pay for a midwife. Now you don't have to pay for a midwife because now there's no more fetuses that are going to be born, and therefore, he says you take off that from the price. But Nazayim, he says, Nachi Mezainis. You take away from that he would have had to add on to her nourishment, to her food, to her staples, because during the time of her difficult pregnancy, going towards birth, and now she's not going to have that time period. So obviously we see that these two opinions agree to the same concept, that you take off from what would have had to have been the expense, and now you're not going to have that because I'm compensating you and I took it away from you, that we take that away, the same idea as Reb Shimon Yehuda. Now the Gemara explains that Manda Amenachi Chai, the one who says that we take away from the how much the he has to pay from the Mevladis regarding what he's saving them on the midwife, for sure he would agree that now that he doesn't have to give her more food that he would have had to give her as a pregnant woman, so that for sure you take away. But Amanda Menachem Mezainis, according to the opinion that says that he has to take off in the price how much food of a Nachichai Eloi, but you don't take off how much he would have had to pay for a midwife. Why? Because the Amarle, because the husband could tell to the Mazik, it's a Didi, my wife, Pekrichahi, she's very competent, she doesn't need a midwife, so who said you're saving me that money, and therefore you can't take off how much a midwife costs, because my wife would be able to give birth without that. Mezainis, obviously, he's saving him, so he takes off, but Chaya, this opinion would hold, that he wouldn't be able to take off for that price tag. Now the Gemara goes back to the previous daf regarding this discussion that we mentioned regarding this, why Abaya brought in this brisa, which we were discussing that brisa, to answer Rava's question under Rav Nachman, who had said regarding the guy who cut someone else's tree, even by Niske Gufay, that you evaluated based on Shishim, not like the Resh Galusa had said regarding the actual damage, just evaluating the tree itself. So the Gemara tells there, Rav Papa, Rav Hunan, Breidu Rishua, Aver Uvde Kavaseder of Nachman B'Shishim, they actually had such a story where some guy like cut down the palm tree, and they evaluated the same way, based on 60, not on the tree itself, which is a leniency for the Mazik. A different version of this was that Rav Papa, Rav Hun, Rav Beshua, Samu Dikla Agav Katina Da'ara. They evaluated the palm tree in contrast to a small tract of land, which Mefarshim explained can mean the same idea of based on 60. So concludes the Gemara. The Hilchasa Kavaseid Rav Papa, Rav Hun, Rav Beshua, Bedikla Darma. The halacha follows like them, like Rav Nachman had said, regarding an Armenian tree, which is you don't evaluate the tree itself, but rather as people sell it based on a larger area, based on 60. But, says the Gemara, V'hilchasek avaseid resh galusa, halacha falzak resh galusa, bedikla parasa by a Persian tree, which since it's very distinct, it's very chashuv, therefore it's sold by itself and it's evaluated by itself, and there the halacha would be, like the resh galusa said, that you evaluate the tree itself, not based on 60, to be as a leniency for the mazik. I think Mar brings a halacha again regarding these halachas of evaluating based on Shishim. Eliezer Zeira. Eliezer, the small one, as we continue to Ahmed Beis, have a Sai Misani Uchma. He was wearing black shoes, which is generally the custom of mourners. But Koy Beshuka de Narda, and he was in the marketplace in Narda. So the household members of the Resh Galusa encountered him and they said to him, Maishnahan Misani, what's going on? And why are you wearing these black shoes? No one wears black shoes. Amalu, he said to them, I'm mourning over Yerushalayim. Amrulay, they said to him, At chashibis lesabuli Yerushalayim, what you think you're such a respectable person as if you're on that level to be mourning over Yerushalayim that you're wearing black shoes in the street? So So they thought that was haughtiness, and it was he wasn't on that level. So asiyu b'chavshu, they took him and they threw him in prison. They locked him up. So Amalu, he said to them, Gavar Rabban, I'm a great person. I am on that level that I should be wearing black shoes. Amulei, they said to him, Minayadina, how should we know this? Amalahu, he said to them, look, Ayatun boyi minam milsa. Either you ask for me a question, I'll show you I'm a great person. Ayanoi boyi minayichim milsa. I'll ask you a question, I'll show you from my question that I'm a great person. So Amulei, they said to him, Bayat, you ask the question. Amalahu, he said to them, okay. Hai man de cuts kufra. Somebody cuts off budding dates, which is the same level as Baiser is by grapes. So my Mishal, what does the guy who cut off those dates pay? So Amalei, they said to him, Mishalmet ben Kufra. He pays for the value of what dates are in that state of Kufra, which, as Rashi explains, is not worth anything right now as it's being sold because it's not edible. It's not fully ripe. So he answered to them. He says, but for Havatamri, but at a later point in time, it would have been dates, and now because he's chopped it down, it's not going to grow to that, so he's essentially created that loss of what the reported growth would have been. So Amalei, they said to him, you're right. Mishalmet ben Tamri, you should pay the amount of how much dates are worth. So Amalei said to them, but for Halav Tamri Shalkumine, but he didn't take dates from them. So how are you saying he has to pay for dates? He only took them when it wasn't ripe. So Amalei, they said to him, Imalan At, so you tell us what the answer is. Amalei, he said to them, Bishishim, it's evaluated based on the land in proportion to 60, where everything is included. You look at the whole land with all the components, because when someone buys land with its produce, so he looks at what the purported growth is going to be. He can visualize what it's going to be like. So there, Baiser, this Kufra has value. So regarding now that the Kufra is not there, how much does the land worth less now based on a proportion of 60 times that amount? That's how you evaluate the Kufra. So Amalei, they said to him, Mana Makavaseh, who says like you, where'd you get this from? Amalei says to them, look, Hashmul Chai, the great sage Shmuel is alive, Ubis Dinakaim, and his court is around. Shadru Kameh de Shmuel. So they sent the question in front of Shmuel. Amalei said to them, Shabar Kamalechu Bishishim. Whoever had said this answer told you appropriately, that is the exact answer. You don't evaluate the fruits itself, you evaluate based on the land in proportion to 60 times that amount. Vishavku, and they let him go, and they let him alone because he had, as we explained the halacha on this stuff and the previous stuff, that's how we evaluated. It's based on Shishim. Now, the Gemara quotes from our Mishnah that the Tanakhama said based on this halacha. But Rabbi Shimon, I mean, he says, no, achla peiris gemurim v'chulu, if the animal ate full-fledged produce, then you pay full-fledged produce. You don't do it based on the land and based on 60 times that amount. So the Gemara says, my tem, what's the reason? So the Gemara explains, because Hadam Rachman, and this that the Torah says, which we brought as the source of the Tanakhama's opinion, that it says ubir bistei acher, that the animal consumes in another field, which we said malamet sheshamen al gav hasada. That means to say that you qualify when you assess the value based on proportion of another field, which we said you don't evaluate just the fruits themselves. You evaluate based on a base saw, an area that larger than that, in which we said even that we said based on that base saw in regards to a 60 saw. Now, so that is what the Gemara explains. But Shimon agrees to that drasha. But Hanami limited the Tzarech L'Sada. That's only something that still needs the field, so that you evaluate it based on the field and that in the larger context of that, in the larger area. But Hani, but these complete fruits, Kibin the late Tzarech L'Sada, since they don't need the field anymore, is ready to be picked, and the animal ate that. Be'enayu ba'yishlumi. That's where Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and he says then you have to pay for the fruits itself, the produce itself, and not in contrast to the field and regarding to the larger area of a sana and the 60 besa. Now the Gemara tells that Amrav Huna Barchia Amr Bimir Ba'aba, it says, Dan Rav, Rav once acted upon a halacha kira meir, which we're going to quote in a second what the halacha is, and Upasak Hilchasa, so that was what he did. And he had paskin, he decided the halacha, in other words, what he taught to the students that halacha is, kira b'shimen. He told them that the halacha that they should follow and to paskin, to teach others, is like Reb Shimon. What are these two halachas? So Dan Rav kira meir, Rav had acted upon the halacha of Reb Meir at the time, like learn the Braisa. Where kasav l'rishon, if the husband writes the field that was designated for his wife's ksuba, he writes it off to somebody else, to a first person. And the wife doesn't sign along with it, hence showing her displeasure that she doesn't want to agree that the field that was designated for my ksuba, that you're going to give it away to someone else. But l'sheini v'chasmalai, but then at a second time, to a different person, the husband again wrote it over to someone else, and this time she signed it. So on that, of the ksubasa divrei meir, divrei meir says that she has lost the rights for her ksuba to be collected from this field. In other words, she cannot say, wait a second, I didn't really want to give away my field that to this guy, to that man, but it's what's called nachas ruach asisi labayli. I just didn't want to make marital discord. I want my husband to be okay with me. And that says, Remain, no, that can't be the reason. Because if you really cared so much about your husband, you didn't want to step on any eggshells, then you would have done the same thing by the first time. The first time you also would have signed, but you didn't. You stood up for yourself. Obviously, the second time, when you did sign, is because you really were agreeable and therefore you were okay and you did sell it off to that second guy. Rabbi Hudam, he disagrees. He says, no, Yichayli Hishatayma Nachas Ruach Hasisa Labayli. He disagrees. He says, even though the first time she didn't agree, but the second time maybe she felt more pressure, she could say that I only did it because I wanted my husband to be okay. And Atam Malachem Alai, what do you have on me? You can't really say that I really was agreeable to it, and therefore it's not okay that this guy takes my field. I still want it for my ksuba. So that says the Gemara that Rav had acted upon the opinion of Remeh. Says, no. You obviously didn't care that much about your husband because then you would have been agreeable even on the first time, and therefore it is sold to the second guy. Now, Pasuk Hilchas of Reb Shimon, and this that was said that he had Paskin Halacha like Reb Shimon was Ki Hadatnan, was like that of our Mishnah. Reb Shimon Oimer, he said, Ochle Peiris Gemurin. If the animal ate full fledged produce, then Mishalem is Peiris Gemurin, then the payment is not, like we said, this whole 60 thing. Rather, the animal, the owner of the animal pays exactly the full-fledged produce, imsa saim, whatever amount that was eaten. If it ate a saw, the owner has to pay the value of how much a saw is in the market. If it was two saw, he has to pay two saw. And again, the halacha of a bir b'stei acher, that Mishalem is based agav saw the acher, that's only if it's something that still needs the field itself for the growth, only then do you have that halacha according to Reb Shimon. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this on a related vein from the previous Mishnah regarding the animal that damages through its act of consumption of someone else's produce. So the Mishnah tells us as follows: Hamagdish b'toich stecha veroi shalei b'shus. If someone piles up his produce in someone else's field without permission, va'achalten behem tishabal asada, and the animal of that field owner ate up this guy's produce, so potter is exempt. He never accepted responsibility. What are you doing bringing in your fruits in my field? I'm not responsible if my animal eats up your fruits. Now, vim huskebehen, and if let's say the animal of the owner, of the landowner's animal, actually gets injured because these produce are here and he gets injured because of that, then balagodesh chayiv, then the owner of the pile of the produce is going to be liable because you caused the damage. You had no permission to put your produce here. Now, v'im higdish b'shus, but if he piled up his produce with permission, the guy let him do it, then bala sadachayev, then if his animal comes and eats it, then the owner of the field is going to be liable because you gave him permission. Now your animal, you should have watched him and not have him eaten up from this guy's produce. Now, the Gemara says, lema tanandu leik rebbe. Let's say the Tana of a Mishnah is not like Rebbe. Why? Because the Iker Rebbe, if it was like Rebbe, Ha'amar, he says, Achi kabal alav balabayis lishmar, this is as we learned on Daf Mem Zayin Mabeis, that he says, no. If a guy gives him permission to come in, you could come in. But that doesn't mean I'm accepting responsibility. If my animal eats up, it's enter at your own risk. Seemingly, our Mishnah disagrees with there, because our Mishnah says that no, if he had permission to, then the balasad is going to be chayv. So on that, Amar Papa says, no, it could even be like Rebbe. Hacha benotar be'dari askinan. The case of our Mishnah is talking about the watchman of the granary, which their custom was that all the people in the valley would make one area for the grain. And this guy would make his pile, he would make his pile, and they would appoint a watchman. It's regarding such a case that our Mishnah is talking about, and their Rebbe would agree. And that is because the kimin da'omale, ayel v'gadar, since the watchman said, come in and you could do your pile here, it obviously means come in and I will watch it because that's what he is. He's a watchman and that's what he was appointed for. So if he's letting him come in, it's not just letting him come in, it's accepting intrinsically the responsibility to watch, and that's why the halacha will be that then it's going to be chayiv, that even Rebbe would agree that it's not just enter at your own risk, it's saying I'm going to take responsibility. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, moving on with the next mazik. We spoke about shur, we spoke about bur, now we're moving on to the mazik of fire, of esh. Says the Mishnah, Hashaleich es ha-be'eru b'yad cher shayt b'kad. If someone sends a fire in the hand of a deaf mute, mentally deranged, or a minor, so the halacha is pater b'din the adam, he's exempt from the law of the courts, because ultimately he didn't do it, might have been a cause to that he gave it to the cher shayt b'kad, but v'chai b'din ha-shamayim, he's liable to the hands of heaven, because ultimately he was instrumental in causing damage to someone else by giving it over to people that were not competent to hold the fire. Now, sholach b'yad pekech, if he gave it over to the hand of a mentally competent person, so that guy's responsible for what he's doing with the fire, and not the one who sent him. Now, the Mishnah says, echad hevi esu'ur. Now, if let's say one guy brings the fire, and then ve'echad hevi esu'etzim, then the second guy brings the wood, maybe it's a etzim chayiv. The one who brings the wood is going to be liable for the fire and what it damages, because if not for the last guy, what the first guy did is nothing, because the fire itself cannot catch on to do anything unless you have the firewood. Now, same thing in reverse. Let's say echad hevi eso etzim. Let's say one guy brings the wood, and then afterwards ve'echad hevi eso or the other guy brings the fire. So maybe it's a or chayiv. The one who brought the fire is liable. In other words, the one who finally made the fire feasible, whichever one is the second one, because you can't have one without the other, is the one that's going to be liable. Now, ba'achar v'liba, let's say you had the fire, you had the wood, but it wouldn't have been anything without it having that momentum. So therefore, another guy comes along and he blows it, sahamalavachayiv. The one who blows it is going to be liable because that's what started moving. Now, lipsa haruach kulam b'turin. If the wind came along and blew it, which without it, it wouldn't have been a feasible fire to go anywhere, then they're all going to be exempt because ultimately it was the wind that did it and neither of them had any part in the creation of the mazik, of the fire even getting off of the ground. Now, the Gemara has a machlekes regarding this halacha of the resha of our Mishnah. Amr Shlakish Mishmei Dechizki says, Loi Shana, we didn't learn this halacha of him being exempt by sending it with a chereshayt of a cotton. Elisha Mosle Gecheles Veliba. Only if what he gave to the chereshayt of a cotton was a coal, and then the chereshayt of a cotton fanned it and blew it, which then turned into a fire, which then burnt down this guy's grain. Avol Mosle Shalheves, but says Rishlakish, if he gave him over a flame, then Chayv is going to be liable. My time, what's the reason? Maisav Kagarmulai. The actions of the owner who gave it over to the Chereshayt B'Katan, his actions is what ultimately caused the fire. Now, as the Gemara had explained elsewhere, this is dependent on the machlekes of, do we say Isha Mishum Memoinai or because of Chitzav? Rish Lakish holds because of Memoinai, it's your money. This fire was a fully fledged fire before he gave it over to the Chereshayt B'Katan. He should have watched it. Giving over to the Chereshayt B'Katan is not a viable option of watching it. They're not responsible, and that's why he's going to be liable. And the exemption of the Mishnah is only when you gave him over coal. A coal is not a fire yet. The Chereshayt B'Katan turned it into, so maybe he's a grumma, but he's not. It wasn't yet a moment of a fire. Rabbi Yechanam, he disagrees. He says, "Afilu masalei shall have his part. Even if he gave him over a flame, he's going to be exempt. My time, what's the reason? Tzavsa the cherish gramalai. What ended up causing the fire was the holding, the grasp of the deaf mute that caused it. And again, as the Gemara there explains it, because he holds isha mishum chitzav. It's considered your arrows, like as if you did it. Here, although maybe if you considered mammon, it would be his fire, but that's not the reason why you're liable by fire. It's as if you did it, you sent it. That's not the case. The chereshayt b'katan, it was his holding that ended up causing it. And therefore, again, the most it would be, even if he gave him a flame, would be like a grama. And therefore, the halacha, the mission of exempting him would be even by a shalheves. It says, Rabbi Yechanan, b'loy mechayiv, the owner would not be liable, but they adam ad sheyimsu legavza, unless he gave him over thorns. As we continue on top of Samach Manalv, and slasa and wood chips, shrug and fire, if he gave him over all those things, that would definitely be considered, even according to Rabbi Yechanan, as if the actions of the owner of the fire had caused it, because then he gave him everything, and essentially it's just waiting for everything to evolve and then go out and cause damage. That's what he would agree. But the fire itself, that still requires the holding, the grasping of the chereshayt b'katan to then spread it. That is, says Rabbi Yechanan, not going to be considered chitzav of the owner. But if he gave him everything, which is just a matter of time till all those things come together and then it goes out and spreads, that was already started by the owner. That would be, even according to Rabbi Yechanan, valid as the isha mishum chitzav, as the arrows of the owner. And then he would be chayiv. So again, that's the machlekes between Rish Lakish and Yechanan. The halacha of the exemption of chereshayt b'katan, is that only by a coal, as Rish Lakish says, or is it even as a flame, as Rabbi Yechanan says?